Go to 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. What I wanted to share with you is what our Lord accomplished for us in our completeness. It's really along the same lines, again, but it's a different avenue, different aspect of this. See, our Lord paid for every single thing that our Father has given us on his cross. He paid for every single thing that was done on that cross. You and I paid for nothing. That's why salvation is by grace. It is the gift of God. God Almighty planned it out. Jesus carried it out. And you and I simply have to humble ourselves. And this is the key. You humble yourself because you know you need a Savior. And you accept Him. You accept Him as your Lord. You're going to live your life in light of what He says. And by the grace of God, He gives you salvation. Now, you're still responsible to maintain that. And to honor Him and to love Him. But it's all done for us on the cross. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I spoke of this before. Well, not this particular verse, but it was spoken of before. It says in verse 21, it says, "For He hath made him," God Almighty has made him, talking about Jesus Christ, "made him to be sin for us." God Almighty has made our Lord and Savior to be the sin offering, it should be rendered, for us, who knew no sin. Our Lord and Savior knew no sin. "That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." In the original covenant, the Old Testament, the Torah, there's a lot of animal sacrifices, right? Most people say, "What's that about?" It was a teaching tool. See, sin is you're worthy of death when you sin. Somebody has to die in order to pay for this. And what God said is you can take this animal, you place your hand upon its head, you identify with this, and this thing is going to die instead of you. The innocent animal died because of your sin. Christ was the sin offering. Remember, it's John the Baptist cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus Christ was our substitute. And here you have the same double transfer as you had in the Old Testament law. Except this was the one who did it for us. That's why there's no more animal sacrifices. There's no more sacrifice for sin. Because his life was given once and for all. So you have God made him to be sin, or the sin offering, the sin sacrifice for us. The sin offering for us who knew no sin. Christ was innocent. He knew no sin. "That we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He took upon him our sins. He was that offering. Identified with him. That's why what we do is identify in communion. And he transferred to us his righteousness. What did I do? You see what I mean? I did nothing to get good with God. Most religions is they do stuff to get good with God. All right, that's called salvation by works. Being loving. There's nothing wrong with being loving. But if you're doing it to get good with God, you miss the point. Same thing with being kind or generous or any of the other things. Without love, without the spiritual end of it, the reason I can do any of these things is because I already have God. That's why we're workmen. So, Romans chapter 5. He was that substitute. He was that sin offering for us. He is the one who accomplished every single thing that we have. Dwayne was talking about that check. There are people who'd never cash the check. You know, they die millionaires. And they never knew it. You know, let us not be. That's why we study the scriptures. That's why we come together. That's why we talk to each other and work the word together. To remind each other and also enlighten each other, because not everybody sees it from the same point of view. You know? So in Romans chapter 5, in verse 19, it says, For as by one man disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. This is another major point that I don't think most people get. Adam, his sin is the sin that Jesus died for. Okay? That, what I was taught as a Catholic, the original sin. Okay? Now, that's as far as it goes, all right? It leaves the Catholic out of it. That original disobedience, sin, eating of, all right, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't an apple. No apple there. Do you realize how little people read the Bible? There ain't no apple. That original disobedience against God, that treason, that's really what it was. It was treason against God. That sin came upon him and upon all his offspring. See, all men are one blood. I know today in popular belief we want to separate all people out from everything. All men are one blood. We are all the children of Adam by our flesh. Okay? That sin was passed upon all of his offspring. Jesus, the problem with people is people die, right? As long as you live, I was saying this to Vinny. Vinny's not going to be 90. You know, God bless him. He's not here now. Had to go home and rest. I would too. In fact, I'm looking forward to going home and resting right after this. But Vinny said to me, he's going to be 90 in, I think, October. I mean, what a great thing, right? But no matter how long you live, life's short. He said, that's the truth. You know, it's short. 100 years is a short period of time. You take a grain of sand for every year. You put it in the little bottom of a test tube. It won't even fill the bottom of a test tube, 100 grains. You know what eternal life looks like? It's more than all the sand on all the beach, on all the beaches under all the oceans of the earth. And yet, you can still count that. But you can't count eternally. Eternity. You can't count eternity. That's what God's given us. That's the problem with men. Sin came into the world, disobedience by one man, Adam, and all died. It's not what God wanted. We call it nature. It ain't what God wanted. He wanted us to be with Him forever. In Christ, all are made alive. The difference is, and this is the truth, God wants all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, it says in Timothy, right? Who's going to be saved? The people who humble themselves, who realize that they need a Savior. Those are the ones who will choose to be with God. The guys who go after the song, "I Did It My Way." Remember Frankie? It's a great song. I love the song. Not knocking the song. But if you think you're going to do it your way, and you don't need God, and you don't need... I met a fellow like this the other day. I talked to him about God. "I don't want to hear about God." I said, "It's sad, man." You know, so, but there's plenty of them like that. There's plenty of them. "I'm going to do it my way. I don't want to live the way someone else tells me to, even if it's good. I don't want to do what? I am my own boss. I am my own God." It's really what they say. That's idolatry. Jesus Christ died, all right? He was that sin offering. He was the one who took upon Him the sin of all mankind, Adam, and our individual sins, and transferred to us His righteousness. I am righteous because He has made me righteous, not because McCabe worked himself into a discipline of righteousness. I try, but I always fall short. But I do try. You know, Adam was the one who messed this all up. Jesus Christ is the one who put it all back together. Jesus is our hero. He is the innocent one who died for every single one of us. I owe Him everything. I owe Him everything. The greatest truth that I have, the greatest service that I can give, is to make Him Lord. Therefore, I am His slave. He's Lord, I'm slave. Slaves do what they're told. And that's where we want to be. That's really where we want to be. It's all been done. We are the sons of the living God. We have all eternity in front of us. We have a short period of time to live in this life, and mine's a lot shorter than it was when I started out 50 years ago. We have a short period of time to walk with Him, to prove our love, our faithfulness to Him. Just because I believe He died for me. I believe my Father will, just like Aldo taught this morning, take any soul and run and meet them, to come back, say, "This my son was dead, but is now alive. Kiss me, hold me, put the ring on my finger, shoes on my feet, and cover me with a robe, and kill the fatted calf, because I've returned." Every time I lose, you know, I go off in left field. That's, your Father will take you right back. It's a beautiful thing. Go to 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He is the one that has made unto us. He has given it to us through Christ. Wisdom. Now, you look around the room, sometimes there's not a lot of that on display, but you got it if you walk in it, all right? Same thing with everything else, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You have all of these things from the moment that you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and you believe God raised him from the dead. You were saved and God has given you everything. And it's yours to have. It's up to you and I to discipline ourselves to believe these things. To really believe and walk out on them. See, you are the sons of the living God. You are, even you girls now, you are the sons of the living God. Right? I know everybody's got such a big he, she, it, whatever. You know, why do you want to be an it? We are the sons of the living God. We got the rights and the privileges. We have been welcomed and loved and surrounded with his grace, his mercy, his love, everything. You can bask in it this moment if you believe what the word says. Or you can be tormented, depressed, and think, I'm no good. I'll never be any good. It's what you do in your head that determines. It's, do you believe what he says? And do you hold on to that and cast out every imagination and high thing that exalts itself against the word of God and be obedient to Christ? This is where it's at for us. We have all those things because of what our Lord says. See, you are what the Word of God says you are when you read it. You have what the Word of God says you have, and you will be what the Word of God says you will be. You're going where the Word of God says you're going to go. All we have to do is stay faithful. Stay faithful to those things. In 1 John, it says it so beautifully. 1 John chapter 3. In verse 1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Just think about those words. Behold, the manner of love God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are you the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You know, Jesus Christ's resurrected body is, you can get to see a little glimpse and pieces. But I got no clue. He'd pop up in one place, pop up in another. He'd change his appearance. They didn't know who he was. And then all of a sudden they figured out he was the Lord. It's very foggy to me what this is going to be like. But I know that when I see him, we're going to be as he is. Let's going to be glorious. So if everything that we have had, we are the sons and daughters of the living God. We have everything that God has said to us. What else does God say about us? He calls us witnesses. All right? He calls us servants. He calls us soldiers. He calls us fellow laborers. All these titles, all to show a specific aspect of what we have to do. You know, a soldier trains, all right? Denies himself certain things and does a lot of training so that he's fit to be a soldier, so that he's not a casualty. A fellow laborer, one who works right alongside the Lord. Because that's what we're talking about. A witness, one who declares everything that you know about our Lord and about our God. You know, one of the fellows that I was talking to the other day, he said to me, "I don't believe in God." I said, "Why?" He says, "There's just too much evil in the world." I said, "Well, I can't, there is." I said, "But that's a different God." He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "You know, there's more than one God, right?" And he looked at me and said, "No, there's no gods." I said, "Really?" I said, "How foolish is this? If there was no such thing, then where did this evil come from? And where did the goodness come from? Why is there such big difference in both evil and good?" I just said, just in your experience in life. Why is there such a contrast? I said, God Almighty loves. He gives. In fact, it says in the scriptures, and I'm just talking to the man, God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. I said, love is giving. I said, and on the other side of this, a devil, he's a murderer from the beginning. That's what the scriptures say, and a liar, and a murderer from the beginning. I said, there's two gods. The spiritual world is all around you. But you don't see it. So we talked quite a bit, actually. We were sitting around, and so I got to talk to him. He's a nice gentleman. We had a nice conversation, and it was profitable, I thought. But I can't say that he's going to show up to fellowship anytime soon. But I thought it was a very profitable conversation. It was an eye-opener for him. He never considered these things, never thought about them. We are the children of God, and we are everything God says we are in His Word. Everything. So how, as Richie and as these wonderful men before, Dwayne and Richie and Aldo has talked about, I want to show you what the Lord said to His men just before He was taken away and suffered. I want to show you some of the things that he talked about. Go to John chapter 14. As I said to you, I think earlier today, as I was thinking about it, Jesus Christ at the Last Supper, a lot of things were going on at the Last Supper. If you read a lot about it, if you read a bunch about it, in all of the Gospels, you'll see that there was a lot of contention among his men. They were trying to figure out who's going to be the best guy, who is the greatest among them. There was a lot of envy among them. They had their mothers working the Lord. To who's going to sit on my right hand and on my left? I mean, this is a great fellowship, isn't it? I mean, you guys get, you know, complain because you got some people who are annoying. This is Jesus' last fellowship. This is the last one. He's going to give the whole ministry to these guys here in a little bit. And there's no plan B. Well, talk a walk of faith. One of them is going to betray him. And he says, one of you sitting at the table with me is going to betray me. And then he tells him, he washes his feet. He hands him the sop, which means he dipped the piece of bread into the dish, and he honored that man more than anybody else and shared it with him. And he says, what you do, go do quickly. He washed his feet, he honored him, loved him, and he still betrayed him. You want to tell me that this ain't spiritual? But Jesus Christ that day really did teach them everything that they would need to know in order to live in light of the kingdom that's coming, his return. He gave them in that fellowship a synopsis of everything that they would really need to know and practice. From John chapters 13 to 17. It would be really good to study it, really get into it, but I'm just going to give you a little bit here. He told them, he washed their feet, remember? He did the communion, instituted the new covenant. He washed their feet, told them that this is how you're going to serve. You're going to serve the way I have served. He taught them how to love. You're going to love the way I have loved. You love those that betray you. What an example that day. And then you obey the Father the way I've obeyed him. And he says to you, and there is a comforter that's coming. I'm not going to leave you alone. John chapter 14, verse 11. This was great. Only Jesus could say this and get away with it. In verse 11, it says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. If you don't believe what I've said to you, like Richie taught, that the Father, he does the works. He's the one that gives me the words. If you don't really believe that the Father's in me doing this, then just believe me because of what I did. Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Now, if Jesus didn't say this, if somebody else had said this, we'd be marking it out of the Bible. Just cross it out. Had to be wrong. Jesus is the one who said it. The works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Was he lying?
No.
Don't think so. So you make up your mind. And this is available for the believer. Okay? I don't understand it completely. I'm not standing here and telling you I understand the nuance of what he just said here. But I believe that it's there. I believe that it's available. And if there was a need to do it, and there is a believer who is willing to be the servant and not the master, then he would do it. It's as simple as that. And whatsoever, verse 13, he says to these men, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, I've taken too much time already messing around here. But you know what most of the Christian church does? They pray to Jesus, right? What does he say to do that? He says, you pray in my name, not to me. You pray in my name. Later on, it's going to say, pray, 16 someplace. It says, I can find it. Verse 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. When our Lord is taken away, when he's going to suffer, this is, he's talking about the events that are going to come. After I'm gone, you're going to ask me nothing. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, that will I give unto you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. If I was standing next to Jesus and Jesus was next to me, I wouldn't need to say, Jesus, in your name, can you help me out here? I just say, Lord, help me, like they did, like we would do together. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Whatever you need, our Lord's going to be there. You ask the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. And if it's according to his will, and you're not out to lunch, I'm pretty sure he's going to give it to you. Now, if you're looking for a pink Cadillac, I ain't found one of those in here yet. But if you want understanding, you want to understand the scriptures, you want to walk like he walked, you want to help and be a blessing and be fruitful, then what would he not answer? I want to walk like my Lord walked, Father. Help me. And then you learn and you discipline yourself, just like you discipline yourself to do anything well. You got to discipline yourself to do the things of God. You choose. Go back to 14. Let me try to go through this quicker. He's going to give them, he tells them, you can do everything that I have done. And whatever you ask in prayer, you ask in my name, it's going to be given you. Isn't this the relationship that Jesus had with God? You're going to have the relationship that I got with my Father. You walk like I've walked, you're going to have the same relationship and you're going to have the same productive life to do the things of God as I have had. Verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. The word comforter is parakletos, a paraclete, a counselor, a guide, that he may abide with you forever. And the word forever is aion again, until the end of the age. Father's going to send another counselor. Who's been their counselor? Jesus. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because you see him not, neither know him, but you know him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Jesus was dwelling with them. You're going to get another, one of the same kind, counselor. I will not leave you comfortless. And this is the word orphanos. We get the word orphan. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world sees me no more, but you shall see me. Because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know. What day? The day that this comforter is given. These things are poured out. These men didn't know what he was talking about. They were arguing about who's going to be the chief guy. This all went way over their head. It's the difference between, the water. Later on, they're going to, in that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. You're going to know that I'm in you when that day happens. Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, this Parakletos, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever have I said unto you. The Spirit's going to bring things back to your mind what the Lord said. It would be really helpful if you read it first before it gets come back. This is not you don't have to read it and I'll tell you what I said. It's, I'll remind you what I said. Okay? It's always helpful. Look at chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. The Spirit testifies of him. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. You're going to be witnesses. 16, verse 7. This is a shocker. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. It's more beneficial for you that I leave. That's a shocker. Let that sink in. What you and I have in our completeness in Christ is better than having Jesus standing here talking today. That, right over the top. But it's the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go away, the Comforter, this particular Paraclete, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. That is huge. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. This was always a hard verses. Of sin, because they believe not on me. The Spirit's going to reprove people because they don't believe on him. Remember on the day of Pentecost, Peter says, and you crucified him. That's convicting them of sin because they didn't believe on him. And then when they changed and repented, they got the Holy Spirit, the promises unto you and to your children, and to all those that are called of righteousness. The Spirit is going to convict you of how to live rightly for him. That's what living righteously means. It's going to guide you. It's like a parent guides a child. This is right. This is wrong. You know, you have a conscience. I guess it's just like that. And because I go unto my Father, and you see me no more, and of judgment. This is the harder one. The Spirit also makes judgment. Now, I can show you records. Paul saying Hymenaeus what was his other name? Sapphira, right? Because they were teaching that the resurrection has passed already. He says, anathema. judgment. And then you have Acts chapter 5. You have where they tried to deceive the church and the Holy Spirit when they sold the land, right? The Levites sold that land, and the individual dropped dead. And then his wife came in and she dropped dead. I mean, tell me this is not a judgment. Peter didn't hit him. He didn't shoot him. He just said, why have you decided to deceive the Holy Spirit? And the guy, it just, that's what he said to him. And the man simply just dropped dead. And then the wife came in and said, did you do this with your husband? He said, oh yeah. Then why did you lie? And then she dropped dead. Because they weren't lying to anybody except God. I don't understand the judgment one that well. I'm not trying to teach a doctrine. I just know it's there. Okay? I just know it's there. That's as far as I, as a teacher, can lead you. He says to him, I have many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto the all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. This is not a person. The Holy Spirit is not a person. It's not going to speak of itself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. That Spirit is, as Richie taught before, you have the Word, and you have the Spirit. All right? As was shared with Dwayne, we have the Spirit. That's why we can manifest, if we choose to discipline ourselves to walk by the Spirit, we can manifest the fruit as well as the work. But we have to crucify ourselves. Paul said in Galatians, I crucify the world unto me and I unto the world. I am crucified unto the world and the world unto me. Crucifixion to a Jew was absolutely devastating. It was the worst way in the world to die because of their culture and because of what they were taught. It says, cursed is every man that hangs on a tree, crucified that way, who dies that way. And that meant that you were open, you were naked, you were cast down, you were considered garbage. Crucifixion was the worst way to go. I am crucified to this world. I'm naked to it. I've cast it down. I have eliminated it out of my heart and life, this world. And it's crucified unto me. Means nothing. Only the Lord. And that which the Lord gave him. Go to Luke. Luke, I just want to show you a couple more verses. And then we'll bring our day to an end. So grateful and thankful to have God's word. I am so grateful and thankful to have you all in our lives. Thank you for the prayers that you've offered for my Mary. Thank you for the love that you share. And I praise the Lord for the Spirit of God that works within each and every one of you. Yeah, we have a whole lot of wonderful people who walk with God in this church. I'm so grateful and thankful for that. In Luke 24, verse 49... this is after the ascension, just as he's going to be ascended into heaven. He says to his men, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem. You wait there until you be endued or clothed with power from on high. When you got the Spirit, you were clothed with power from on high. It clothes you. He's the one that clothed you with it. And then he led them out as far as Bethany, and he was lifted up his hands, and he ascended. That's what he said to them. I send to you the promise of my Father. Go to Acts chapter 1. Talking about the same time period. This is just before the resurrection again. Gives you a little bit more information. In verse 1, chapter 1, verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, you have heard of me. You know when he talked to them a lot about that? John chapters 13 through 17. He told them, you wait for this promise of the Father. Now, this promise was all the way back to Joel. Remember when Peter talks later on? He says, this is what you now see and hear when they heard them all speak in tongues. This is the promise that was made to your fathers from Joel. All of your children, the old men, the young people, they'll all prophesy and so forth. God's been waiting for this day a long time. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized, immersed with Holy Spirit not many days hence. Verse 8, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's our job, to be witnesses. As Richie shared, the ministry of reconciliation. That's our job. The Spirit gives us the ability. It clothes you. It's the promise of the Father. It's power from on high. You got it all in that completeness. You got everything that there is to get. You've got. You can't get anything more. I know that there are people who say, oh, Lord, come into the meeting. He's already here. It sounds good, don't it? But it's not the truth. He is everywhere present. You have God in Christ in you. Wherever you are, God is. The Lord Jesus Christ. They reside, they live in you. You don't have to invite them in anywhere. Another side note. When these guys, they didn't need a class. You know what they did when the Pentecost came? They manifested the Spirit. They manifested the Spirit. They spoke in tongues. Peter, who was hiding behind closed doors for fear of the Jews just 40 days before, he was under the table, cowering for fear. Now, the Spirit comes. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. He knows that he's got Christ in him. And he stands up before the thousands. And he says, be it known unto you and hearken unto my words. And he preaches. And 3,000 believe. That's just a fisherman. No education. Some guy that was probably arguing that he ought to be the top dog just 40, 50 days before. Asking a lot of stupid questions just 40, 50 days before. After the resurrection, he says, I go back a fishing. I'm going fishing. I'm done with this. Can't make a living at this. This man's changed. No class. He believed it. He cashed the check. He cashed the check and he walked out. And you know, the next chapter, they're called on the carpet. There's a guy at the temple gate, beautiful. Hey, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Ba-boom, he gets up and walks. Everybody gets excited. What are you looking at me like? I'm something holy. The God and Father of Abraham, he's the one that sent his son, which you crucified. It's by his name that this man is made whole. That's a witness. That's a conviction of sin. And I tell you what, it's a judgment on everybody else who didn't believe. We have everything because God has given it to us. Discipline yourself to think the word, do the word, believe the word. Just do what it says. Live it. Don't let the world suck the life out of you. And don't let it talk. You will, don't get talked out of it. I love you all very much. And it was a real privilege to do this today. Thank you for coming. Love you. God bless.